we're talking about talents. We're talking about using, serving God. And I think so many Christ followers, even though Christ is in us, we're still bound by the chains of I can't, and I don't know if I can, and I don't know if I should, and you know, I don't think I'm qualified, and other people are better. That is chains that bind the work of the Holy Spirit into our life. And we're called to be set free from those and to actually risk and go out and say, yet not I, but through Christ in me. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And it's just such an important, I just love that song. It just makes you, it's what you want to be, you know. I want to be able to say that all the time, but sometimes it's like, oh, you know, them chains come back and they bind me, and it's like, ay, ay, ay. Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. We talked about this, so two sections of verses just for a review of where we're at. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Why did God give them? Real quick, out of your memory, why did God give us pastors, prophets and teachers and all that kind of stuff? Why? To equip God's people for works of service, all right? So, to equip all God's people for works of service. We are all called to serve God. You know that. For works of service, why are we having to work? Why does God call all of us to work and to serve God? So that the body of Christ may be what? Sleeping in their benches or their chairs. So the body of Christ may be comfortable and not stretch, not to be pulled out of their comfort zone. So the body of Christ, what do you say, stays immature?
Used to their fullest
to become mature. We are called to be built up. When you serve, you grow. And when you don't serve, you don't grow. Your growth is stunted. So if you're a believer in Christ, not through your own strength, they're called talents, but through gifts of God, and that's where it's not by my strength, but by Christ in me, until we all reach unity in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of God. Awesome. Second one is, then we will no longer be infants. Who wants to stay an infant? You know? Sometimes it'd be nice, wouldn't it? Just cry and let someone feed you and change your diaper. Well, changing the diapers wouldn't be too cool, but yeah. So we won't be infants in our faith, because infants in their faith are tossed back and forth like by every wind of doctrine that comes by, every false teacher, every false teaching. Oh, that sounds good. I'll go with that. And, oh, this one sounds good. I'll go this way. So we jump from church to church to church to church to church. We're called to serve. So we need to dig in, and the obedience to Christ brings maturity. Maturity brings knowledge of the Scriptures, because we're serving God. And then we understand what's truth and not. We can listen to a sermon and say, that something doesn't sit right with my spirit, or something does, or this isn't right. It's just the whole, so that we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, will grow to become, in every respect, a mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body is joined together, and so on and so forth. This is the way a church is called to work, in Romans 12, 4-6. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and those members do not have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each one of us. Now, we get into the body of the church. Believer, 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 when they come together, they form the body of Christ. And all the believers all around the world, in every country, those believers form the body of Christ. And that's just an amazing thing, and that's where we're at. We are part of a body. A literal body of believers. We are together. You know what how Jesus views the body? As his bride. We are the bride of Christ. Now, us guys just got to get used to that, okay? We have to, and scary looking bride sitting out there, some of you guys, you know? But we are, Josh, I was looking at you when I said that, but I really didn't mean you, all right? But I could have looked at Cody and said, anyway, we are so much In God's view, a body, as he calls all the believers on earth, the bride of Christ. That's just an amazing thing. Now, when we talk about serving God, and that's what we're talking about. We're talking about serving God. Sometimes in church, we mix up, us teachers, we mix up the words, you know, use your talents to serve God or use your spiritual gifts to serve God. So before we actually get into it, next week we're going to be getting into specifics of what talents and what spiritual gifts are next week. But before we get into this, I want to spend the day trying to explain, which I don't have a lot, I want to explain the difference between talents and spiritual gifts, okay? The difference between talents and spiritual gifts. There's similarities and there's differences, so I'm going to read some of this, all right, between talents and spiritual gifts. Both are gifts from God. Understand this, that your talents are gifts from God. They are given to you by God himself. Spiritual gift, okay, well, so they're both given to God. Talents and spiritual gifts are given by God. Both grow in effectiveness with use. So if God's given you a talent or a spiritual gift, you can understand that as far as talents, right? You know, you got a kindergarten that's, or first grade or whatever, that's a talented T-ball player. Now, he doesn't stay there, right? If he's talented, he's going to get better and better and better, you know, and then get into, like, real baseball, you know, and stuff like that. But both are gifts from God. Both grow in effectiveness with use, and both are intended to be, listen to this, both talents and spiritual gifts are intended to be used. Okay, let me read this just to make sure I'm right. I'm going to have to make sure I say it right. They're both intended to be used on behalf of others, not for selfish gains or selfish purposes. God did not give you a talent. He did not make you talented to serve yourself. God did not give you a spiritual gift to serve yourself. They're both supposed to be used on behalf of others, not for selfish purposes. You know the two great commandments, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That applies to that was a great verse for everybody. We are called to love other people. Nowhere in the Bible are we called to serve ourselves. It's about me. I'll get big and I'll get popular and I'll get good at something so I can make a lot of money. That is not the way God intended. That is Satan's purpose. He takes the talents God's given you and says, now you can earn money and you can be snobby and you can do all this kind of stuff. That's when Satan takes what God has given you, the natural talents you've been given, and bring glory to yourself. But understand this. Both are gifts from God, both grow in effectiveness with use, and both are intended to serve others, not for selfish purposes. So we are called to serve God. Now I want to talk about talents for a minute specifically. Talents, how and when do we get them? How and when do we get talents? All right, that's fairly easy if we stopped and looked at it. A person, regardless of his belief in God or in Jesus Christ, is given natural talent. And there's a couple things that help natural talent. This isn't an exhaustive list on this. But some of them is a combination of genetics. Okay? Combination of genetics. You can tell when your baby's born if he's 12 inches and a half inches, 12 and a half inches long. He's probably not going to be a basketball player. Okay? You just know that. Sometimes when they come out and they're 12 and a half inches long and their feet are, 16 inches long, he might be, I don't know, but weird looking. But is he laying or sitting, standing? I can't tell, But genetics kind of, make you a baseball player, a sumo wrestler. Sometimes that can get, so genetics are part of it, and genetics, who wove it together in our mother's womb? Just believers in Christ though, right? He only wove them people together that are going to be born someday and become a Christian, right? No, every single person, God weaves together in his mother's womb and takes the genetics and has a plan for their life, all right? And he instills things into their genetics. But sometimes it's a combination of mom and dad that make it. So sometimes it's a combination of genetics. Some people have natural ability. In music, Mary had a little lamb with one finger. That was my big musical extravaganza. I do not clap right. The genetics were not in my family. Now, Jack, on the other hand, okay, Jack, the people that practice and the people that come early for church, when they're practicing their song, Jack is just running around. He can't sit still when there's music. you know, and he's running around as fast as he can. I mean, he's got some genetics in there, you know, Abby's son, as far as music's, but sometimes surroundings, growing up in a musical family, will aid in developing talents for music or different things like that. Or sometimes because God desired to endow certain individuals with certain talents. Sometimes it's just God, it's like, where did that come from? That wasn't in me, it wasn't in them, it wasn't in their grandparents. Where did they learn to do that? Why are they so good at that? God weaves these things. Exodus 31, 1 to 6 is a verse I had never read before, except when I read through the Bible. And then I don't remember reading it because I was trying to get through the Bible. Anyway. Exodus 31, 1 to 6. And this kind of gives you a little insight here. Then the Lord said to Moses, and this is when they were getting ready to build the temple, or the tent of meeting. The Lord said to Moses, see, I've chosen Bezaleel, whatever, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I, listen to this, I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage all kinds of crafts. Okay? That's an interesting, we'll talk about in a minute. And he says, moreover, I have appointed Ahoyah, I should have read studied these words ahead of time, but this guy, son of Azumachak, okay, the tribe of Dan, to help him. And now listen to this. Also, I have given ability to all the skilled workers to make everything I've commanded you. Okay? He spends all this time on this one guy, you know, and then he gets to the end. Also, I've given skills to all the other workers to help you. That's talents. That's talents. God has given talents. God appoints talents to people. Non-Christians, Christians. God gives everybody, God designs everybody with talents. Talents maybe for the arts or sports or leadership or repairs or scientists and craftsmen and caregivers, administrators, all these kind of people. God gives these natural, we call them natural abilities, okay? Now the interesting thing about natural abilities is when God intersects their life, when God comes into their life as believers in Christ, yet not I, but who? But what? Christ in me can only be spoken by believers in Jesus Christ. Because the moment of your salvation, you are given and filled by God Himself, and that changes everything in your natural life. Because all of a sudden you are just not a natural man, a natural person working on natural God-given talents. Now when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, it's like, boom, baby! Just exactly like that. And you are not the same anymore. A new life begins. God doesn't scrap your old life. He does two things. Sometimes He empowers your talent. And sometimes He just out of the blue gives you a talent that you never even thought of and didn't even know you had because it's new from Him. He gives you a gift, not a talent. Sometimes He just ignores your talent and says, that's good, and you do great at that. But here is something awesome that you never even thought about before. And I'm giving you a brand new gift. And we call them spiritual gifts, the Bible calls them. So there's a difference between talents. Talents is as much as you can do on your own. And they better, and they should be, by believers, used for God. And used for God's glory. Your talents. But then we get into the gifts. Spiritual gifts. How and when do we get them? Spiritual gifts, like I said, are given to all believers by the Holy Spirit the second that you place your faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit gives to new believers the spiritual gifts that He believes you need to have. And God brings them into your life. Listen to this, 2 Timothy 1, 6 to 7. Look at this through a different light, because this is talking about the Holy Spirit. It says, for this reason, I mind you, Paul tells Timothy, to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Now, in the very beginning, the Holy Spirit entered that way. Now, at the moment of salvation. And that was to show people, and I don't want to get into that, but through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So the moment you became a Christian, you were filled with God's Spirit. And God brings with him the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And they're listed in part of the Bibles. We'll read that next week. 1 Corinthians 12:4-7. There are different kinds of gift, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and everyone, it is the same God at work. Understand this. We are all given gifts, and they're not the same. You'll see this next week. I'm putting so much into next week, we're going to be here for both services, okay? But I don't know if I'll get it all in one week. But listen to this. But now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. That sentence has huge amounts of things to say in it. First of all, it says, now to each one, talking about gifts, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. The manifestation, when something manifests itself. Anybody, a vocabulary like whiz in here? What's it mean to manifest yourself? To make it known. To show up. So every believer, at the moment of salvation, is given a gift by God. And to each one, the showing up of that Spirit is given, okay, to every believer. The Spirit shows up in your life, and it is given to you to hoard. Right? It is given to you to make yourself look awesome. What a man of God. Look at that. It's given to you for what? The common good. It's not given so we can brag about it, so we can look good. And so there can be a real thing built around us. It's given for the common good. Now, when you become a believer, you're part of what? A body. So when it's talking about the common good, it's the common good of the body. You are given a gift for the common good of helping the body fulfill its purpose, which is going into all the world and teaching the gospel to every creature, which is to win, build, equip, and send people into the world. So, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit, that's a cool word. Because the manifestation of the Spirit is what changes everything. Because if you want to say, I have a gift of God, and you try really hard to be a good teacher, a good speaker, you try really hard to use one of these gifts, and you're doing it on your own, yet not I, but through Christ in me, that puts, what can I do on my own? I can do a little thing, couple little things on my own. Duh. Apart from him, you only have talents. Apart from him, you only have talents. But God says, now that you're a believer, you have a gift of the Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit shows up in your life, it does one of two things. It brings something brand new into your life that you never thought of, and that when you use it, God's kingdom is rocked. Or that talent you have, you say, I can't keep this to myself. I can't use it for myself. I need to bring God glory through this talent. So apart from me, I can't glorify God. I can get out of bed and I can breathe. Okay? And if it wouldn't be for God, I wouldn't have anything at all. I wouldn't even have breath. But the manifestation of the Spirit shows up for the common good. And when God shows up in your life, it is not to be hidden. It is not to be covered over. It is not to be made excuses for. And that's the problem. God didn't give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. So the manifestation of the Spirit is just awesome in a believer. When the Holy Spirit shows up, it's like a boom baby experience, you know. Although we might not feel it like, whoo, you know. It's not like a tickle that happens. But God starts something. A new life begins. 2 Corinthians says that. When someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person. He's not the same anymore. A new life begins. Who decides our spiritual gifts? So we sit there and think, well, I know what, you know, I'd like to have the spiritual gift of Pastor Bob. Because then I could go plant a church like Bob and Andy, you know. I could run a youth group like Bob. I could run a children's ministry. I want to have their gift. No, we don't always get to decide our gift. We are called to use our talent to glorify God. But who decides our spiritual gifts? 1 Corinthians 12:11. 1 Corinthians 12. Oh, yeah. You know, we back to that verse in Exodus about that guy by the funny name there, Bezaleel or whatever. He was given a gift by the Holy Spirit. You see the difference between him and the other guys that God just gave the talents. Remember it says, I filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all kinds of gifts and this and that and the other thing. See, that's the difference between him and also I've given ability to skilled workers. His work was made for something greater, something that had more power and more longer lasting reach than the skilled workers. When God showed up in his life and was filled with the Spirit, something different happened in him. I love that verse. 1 Corinthians 12:11. All these are the work of the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Okay? Who decides what spiritual gift you get? God does. Not where you go to college. Not if you go to college. God determines. He distributes them to who? To each one. Who's each one? Each one that takes a spiritual gift class. Each one that shows up every Sunday morning and gets their Sunday school pen. Who? Who's each? Every believer. Are you part of each? Don't say that too out loud. That means you have a spiritual gift that the Holy Spirit specifically picked for you. It may be a talent that you have that he wants to rock it into kingdom purposes. Or maybe it's a gift, a talent that you have that he wants to, behind the scenes, creep into kingdom services. But either way, it's kingdom services empowered by the Spirit, which takes it different than just to bring glory to you so you can get a letter on your jacket. Or a position in a company. Who decides your spiritual gifts? All these are work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Hebrews 2:4. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Now you might, God might give you a gift that you think, I can't do this. I feel like God's calling me to something I can't do. But if God's calling you to something that you don't think you can do, yet not him, yet not I, but through Christ in me. See, that makes all the difference. If God calls you to something that you don't think you can do, surrender. And say, okay, I can't do this. I don't have the natural ability. God, if you're calling me to do this, and I feel you're calling me to do it, I've been arguing about it for years, but if you want me to do it, I'll give it my best shot. And your best shot through the Holy Spirit is kind of like David and Goliath, wouldn't it be? He didn't have the ability to do what he did. And it wasn't him, it was Christ through him. I just think it's so cool. All these are work of the same Spirit, given to each one just as God determines. God also testified to it and distributed it according to his will. Why do we get spiritual gifts? Why do we get spiritual gifts? Are spiritual gifts given to benefit us or to benefit others? I know that's a hard question. Okay, seriously, think about this. Are spiritual gifts given to benefit us, like if we can sit in the front row and play with our thumbs like this, that's a talent. That's not a spiritual gift, unless that really helps you bring people to Christ, you know? All right? Wow, look at that thumb. I'm coming to Christ. All right? Or, I'm sorry, you were just doing that, and I was just like, they're given to us to benefit others. Sometimes they may bring glory to ourselves sometimes, but we try not to do that, and some people try to do that, but how do we get, okay, where am I at? I lost my place. Spiritual gifts are given to benefit others, not ourselves. 1 Corinthians 12:7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for what? The common good. You know that. They're not given, spiritual gifts are not given to benefit us. 1 Peter 4:10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to what? There's that word again. To serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. It's by the grace of God we're given spiritual gifts, and God didn't give us those spiritual gifts to make us look good, to get wealthy on. God gave us those spiritual gifts to benefit other people. Whatever your spiritual gift is. Now, you got to get the idea that in a couple minutes I'm going to ask you to take a look at your talents. And are they being used for your good or for the good of others? I'm going to have you take a look at your spiritual gifts. Do you know what your spiritual gifts are? And whose good are they being used for? But each of us should use our spiritual gifts to serve other people as faithful stewards of God's grace. Ephesians 4:12, to equip God's people for works of service. So spiritual gifts are given to us for the common good, to serve others, and so that the body may be built up. Okay, let me summarize the difference between talents and spiritual gifts. A talent is the result of genetics or training. Okay, a spiritual gift is a result of the power of the Holy Spirit. See, a lot of people think, wow, they're so talented, God could really use them. Okay? One thing I like about this, did you ever hear anybody say that? They're so talented, if they'd be a Christian, they'd be awesome. Yeah, we've said that about people. You've heard people say that. Well, see, that is just not true. God could use them if they're submitted to Him and if they're using their spiritual gifts. What God could do taking that talent and adding His Spirit to it, would it be awesome? And just because we're talented doesn't mean that's our spiritual gift. A talent's a result of genetics and training. Spiritual gift is a result of the power of the Holy Spirit, the manifestation, the showing up of the Holy Spirit. That's one thing we have to remember. A talent can be possessed by anyone, Christian or non-Christian. So just because someone's talented doesn't mean anything. God has given everybody a talent. So a talent can be possessed by anyone, Christian or non-Christian. Spiritual gifts are only possessed by who? Christ followers. Not that we're any better than anybody else. We just have the Holy Spirit alive and living inside of our lives. And when the Holy Spirit comes in, you can't stay the same. And so many Christians do stay the same. So they must have got like seconds on the Holy Spirit, right? Defected Holy Spirits. Non-Holy Spirits. Well, some of them do. But we are given God Himself. Spiritual gifts are possessed by every Christian. And both talents and spiritual gifts should be used for God's glory and to minister to other people. Spiritual gifts are focused on God's glory and to minister to other people. Talents can be used extremely for non-spiritual ways. So there's a big difference between talents and spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts, it's almost an abomination when we use them to glory ourselves, to bring glory to ourselves. Now here's what I'd like to do. A lot of you guys probably know what talents you have. Some of you are sitting there thinking, I don't think I have any talents. Yes, you do. But who are you using your talent for? Okay, you're a good mechanic, a good teacher, a good speaker, a good musician. You're a hospitable person. You have talents. Maybe it's athletics. Maybe it's musical abilities. I think one of the things we really need to answer before we even look for spiritual gifts, am I using my talents to serve God? We're called to, and if we're not serving God or others with our talents, then we're left with serving ourselves. And that's a dangerous place for a Christ follower, a church person, or anybody. You've seen athletes are the easy ones to look at. You've seen athletes that are doing it for their own glory, right? And then you've seen athletes that have come to know something different in their life, and things change in their life. See, that's the Holy Spirit in their life. That's taking a talent they have. And because they became a Christ follower, they're now using that talent to serve the Lord. But very rarely do we see that. But more often we see people and movie stars, and they still call them movie stars. That just seems like an old black and white movie thing. Movie stars. It reminds me of the Beverly Hillbillies, you know. But if you're a Christ follower, you have talents, and you're called to use your talents to glorify God because God gave you them. And at the same time, look at your talents. Say, is my talent? Is God using this? Is this a gift of the Holy Spirit, or is this just my talent? Nothing wrong with talents. That's all right. So here's what I'd like you to do today. I'm going to close your eyes. Man, we're completely done already. This is ridiculous. I'm so excited about the church plant. But let's just close your eyes for a minute. Let me ask you a question. I want you to really think. I'd like you to go to God in your mind, and I'd say, God, please speak to me right now. And say, God, am I using my talents to bring glory to me or to bring glory to you? Now be careful, because your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You know what? And sometimes we can tell whether people are trying to bring glory to themselves or glory to you. But in the church, we're supposed to use our talents and our gifts to serve others because God gave them to us, not to bring glory to ourselves. And so many church people, I guess the real question is, are you even using your talents to serve others? I guess that's what I'm asking. Are you using your talents to serve others? Or do your talents serve yourself? You're all good. You all have talents God's given you. Now, next week we'll talk on the same question on spiritual gifts, because we're going to take a look at spiritual gifts specifically. But we're all given talents. And I think we need to come to a decision about our talents first. Are you using your talents to serve God? And all of a sudden that sends you into a, I don't know. Well, then that would be a good thing to come face to face with Christ and say, God, how can I use my talents to serve you? And maybe we need to start reevaluating some of the things that we do and why we do them. You have talents. And if you're a believer, you have gifts, which even goes a step further. No matter what your past, no matter what your personality, no matter what your self-esteem tells you, I think we need to take a minute and we need to look at Romans. We won't look at it, but Romans 12:2 says, I beseech you, because God is so merciful, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Here is all that I am and all that I possess, talents that I have and gifts, even if I don't know what they are. I give them to you. I sacrifice them to you. You use me. Are you willing to do that this morning? To right there, talk to God? He showed you what your gift is or your talent is. And say, God, this talent belongs to you. The glory goes to you. Will you use me? And even better than that, to be able to say to God, I will, from now on, use my talent to serve you. I don't know how. This is where we're going to start next week, right here. How do you use this for God? All kinds of ways. But I think it's the heart change first. Here I am. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Lord Jesus, I pray that you might speak to each one of us. I know we flew through this today. And next week we will specifically talk about some of these areas. But God, I'm going slow through this whole gifts and talents. I'm going slow through this whole service. Because the more we serve you, the better the church on earth works. The more we give you our talents and abilities and gifts and store up treasures in heaven because we use them instead of using them for ourselves, the more we do this, the faster the message of Christ reaches north. The faster the message of Christ gets through our school and gets through our team and gets through our work. And people may reject it. They're not rejecting us. They're rejecting you. But we are called to serve in the church and outside the church. We are called to serve the body of Christ in all kinds of different ways. And we do not all have the same gifts and all have the same talents you gave us, and you distributed to them, to us, exactly what you had in mind for us. I pray that we might use these to your glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Please teach us this week. In Jesus' name, amen.